Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers War Room. I'm your host of this weekly show, Matt Peverell, the host of the show that puts you in the minds of Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers front office, as they prepare a roster, as they prepare this team week by week for this successful seventh Lombardi chase. So as the title of this week's show would suggest, we're going to really talk about rookies this week. And, you know, we even toyed originally with the idea for a brief period around making this show in season really about the rookies. But it's hard to say when you have a draft class, really, how many guys there are going to be that you can talk about. But what I am going to introduce today and what a lot of the focus of part one of the show is, and it might be in part two, it might be in part one in our future weeks, is really what I'm going to be calling the rookie report. And that's really looking at what the rookies did the previous week and what they're going to do the following week. Now, yes, that's going to come up in other people's shows from time to time. But for me, particularly this season with a couple of the predictions I made around the rookies, I think it's pretty important, you know, to look at what their performance is doing because, you know, there are teams, and we always hope the Steelers aren't one of them, where the rookies, you know, if they don't show up, how are you going to fill that with the need? And as you know, I always like to cover, you know, some college players to watch or some potential, you know, Steelers draft picks and what have you. I want us to be more familiar with those, particularly for people that don't necessarily want to follow the college game, what have you. And yes, in many respects, it can be way too early to tell. But there are some names that I can throw out around this that way, if you've got 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, you know, you're waiting for another sport to start, you're watching highlights, you can pick up on some names. And you'll also hear through this show as well, as we go through this season and then we go into the offseason, there's going to be names that start off being these first-round draft picks. They might have injuries. There might be an off-field situation, what have you. They might have a bad game, you know, in the college football playoffs, or it might be that they have a bad Senior Bowl or whatever it is. And you see people slip and you see people move up. And that's why I think it's cool to be able to give you some of those names as well. So cracking into this week's initial rookie report, let's kick off with the O-line. I think this is probably the most, you know, let's say the most covered issue for the Pittsburgh Steelers the last couple of weeks is, would the O-line hold up? You know, you've got Kevin Dotson, who played from start of four games last year. You know, you've got Kendrick Green and Dan Moore Jr. at the center and left tackle position. Then you bring back Trey Turner off an injury, and by bringing back him, you know, you bring him back into a key starting role in the NFL. And then you move Trooks over. So I think when you look at that, you know, you kind of look at the three guys, two of them are actually rookies, and you look at a guy with limited experience like Kevin Dotson. And the O-line did pretty well. I mean, you know, Mike Tomlin said in his interview in the last couple of days around, and it'll be the last couple of days by the time my show goes live, obviously I record, as everyone knows, on a Thursday evening, and then obviously that comes to you live at Thursday lunchtime in the US, even though we're 14 hours ahead. So, but going back to it, so Mike Tomlin sort of said, look, I expected some more pre-snap penalties. I expected some 15, you know, ones. I expected some third and some 1 and 15s, some third and eights, you know, and some jumping there. And that didn't really happen. There were a couple penalties, but from my recollection, it was, I think, Pat Freiermuth might have got called for one of them. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, the O-line did pretty well. Secondly, you know, and I think in one of the other podcasts this week, that there was some chat around Ben needing to get used to the line that he's got. Well, you know, and move around on the pocket more and get stronger there. Well, you know what? Ben only got sacked twice or on 5.9% of the plays. That's not bad. I mean, people, you know, there'd be many listeners that watched those games through and through earlier in his career where he was sacked, you know, almost 50 times a season. I think it was one of them. And, you know, Bruce Arians just let him out, get, you know, absolutely smacked out there. But, you know, from the O-line perspective, I think you got to be pretty happy with that. You know, it's their first game. And I think in context for all these guys too, it was their first rookie game. It's the first time they've played in front of, you know, full crowds. Even for Dotson, that's a first time thing. So I think incredible performance there from the O-line. We want to see it continue, you know, and I think when you look at what Mike Tomlin had to say about it too, you know, he was sort of sitting there going, look, they did really well. You know, and when you think that they didn't have the penalties that he expected them to have there, like, that's pretty good. You know, that's pretty good. You can't argue with that. So let's move on to, you know, Najee Harris, right, in his first game. And you know, Mike Tomlin, you know, did call this out. Mike Tomlin called out the fact that when it comes to Najee Harris, you know, there's an anxiety level to a degree there. You know, that the players, you know, when they start off with these rookies, even for a first round draft pick like Najee Harris, even for a guy that, you know, did awesome things, you know, at Alabama, you know, he's someone that, you know, at the end of the day, he's like everyone else. He's a human being, and he was playing his first NFL game. We know that he stayed on there for 100% of the snaps. He had 45 yards off 16 rushing attempts with a long of 18, three targets, one reception for 4 yards. So obviously catch rate there at 33%. You know, he had 17 touches in total and 2.9 yards. Not too bad. Look, and this is the thing. He'll find his rhythm. I think that was the word Mike Tomlin used. You know, and, you know, we saw that long rush that he did. You saw what he was capable of later in the game. That's the thing about some running backs. You know, and I think when you go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last few years, we've had guys that can get, not regularly, but guys that are capable of, you know, semi-regular 3 and 4 yards or, you know, 2 yards and 6 yards. And but Connie sort of saw him broke, you know, he could, when he was fit, he could break some longer runs. Najee will get there. But the thing about Najee is that he'll get you the smaller runs that where, you know, other guys get 1 or 2, he'll get you 4 or 5. And then with the bigger runs, he's capable of going a lot further, I think, than James Conner can. So, or could. And, you know, he's obviously, you know, availability is your best trait. Or availability is your best ability, whatever the saying is there. So I think when you're talking about Najee Harris, you know, not too bad. You know, and at the end of the day, the Steelers didn't have to lean on him to win the game. You know, if Ben, you know, like people talk about Ben's 188 yards, you know, that I don't think was as much of an issue as what people realize. And if Ben was really, really struggling, you would have seen them have to hand it off to him more. You would have seen shorter, you know, short throws to him as well in the backfield. You know, I think he did pretty well. And I think Ben missed him 3 times. I think it was in the first or second quarter. You know, and Jeffrey Benedict talked about this, the fact that if he'd hit him, like, Harris was going to go. And we saw that, you know, in the preseason. So I wouldn't be too worried there about Najee Harris's performance. Pat Freiermuth, you know, and thanks to Jeff for addressing the question I gave him as a mailbag for his recent Let's Ride or Die there. But, you know, Pat Freiermuth had 24 yards, 1 reception off 1 target. Well, he caught the ball off 1 target, 2 for 24 yards. Perfect. But I actually saw Pat, I mean, everyone talks about the block that he did on Tre'Davious White. I saw Pat make a couple of really key blocks in that game. There was another one as well that he made fairly early on. He's doing well. He's got to adjust. He's a tight end too. He's a rookie tight end. You know, they're going to work him in, not expect too much. And as Jeff rightly said, he could be that guy that, you know, is sitting there in Matt Canada's offense that we haven't even got to see yet. They're not going to be able to use him in this season, week in, week out. You know, to be a mass, like, and I'm going to say this, you know, don't expect him. You know, it wasn't even the case for Claypool last year. Do not expect this guy to week in, week out, be the guy that gets, you know, 5 catches and 1 touchdown and goes for, like, you know, 50, 60 yards. That's not him. That's not going to be him with the O-line we've got. That's not going to be him with Eric Ebron around. It may be him in time, you know, but whether that's even with Big Ben, who knows? It may be him come the playoffs or later in the season. But don't expect this in the first half of the season, at least, you know, and don't expect it week on week on week. Big press. I don't know whether we're calling the King or Elvis or whatever it is that my BTRC colleagues are calling him. But Big Press had 5 punts for 207 yards, a long of 51, a 41 average. Well, I thought it was a pretty good day from Big Press. A good day at the office from Big Press. I wasn't, oh my God, blown away. And everyone can joke about Jordan Berry. I'm just saying his name really. So, Jeff gets amped up about it. But, he had a good day, indoors for Minnesota. But when you look in there at Big Press, let's just see what he continues to do. The key thing for me as well is he held the ball well for Chris Boswell. So we want that to continue too. And don't discount that that's not an easy thing to do in the NFL. Buddy Johnson, he played 13 snaps on special teams. From my understanding, from the stats I could pull up, didn't play any time on the defense. I would have liked to see that, but when the Steelers were not generating as much on offense, I'm not surprised that that's the case. Interestingly, he got that helmet as well with Spillane out. So it'd be interesting what happens. He's comes back. Watch for Buddy in some of the games, particularly if they've got they go into the bye with six, they go into the bye with six wins, or they go in, 5-2, or whatever, or it'll be, or 5-1. Look for him to play a little bit more in the middle of the season to be spelling guys. You might even see it week 3 and week 4. They might not be wanting to put things on tape, but I'd expect Buddy to sort of get a bit more of that defensive game time at some point. But at the end of the day, when you've got Joe Schobert, who didn't have the best game, Devin Bush, and Spillane there. And, obviously there's the role that Marcus Allen is playing. I have to say it. I hate saying it, but that's the case. Where's Buddy going to fit in? And if Buddy's just learning and redshirting, then fine. Really happy with that. But it is notable that he played the 13 snaps and special teams. The next player I want to cover off, that sort of rounds out the Steelers rookies that played this week, and that's a lot of them, is Trey Norwood. So Trey Norwood played 80% of the defensive snaps. He played 34% of special team snaps. We saw him interchangeable in the secondary. We saw him there as that nickel. He was also someone called out in Mike Tomlin's press conference with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Cam Sutton as being guys that, are position flexible, which helps when you've got a quarterback like Josh Allen last week. And to a degree, I think it helps when you've got Derek Carr as well. It doesn't move as much, in the pocket from a rush perspective. He can extend plays. I think you actually saw that this week against Baltimore. If you actually go back and look at it, particularly his touchdown to Bryan Edwards, there he really extended that play in terms of being able to still throw the football. Ben Norwood, let's say 6 tackles, 5 solos. He allowed an 80% completion rate though, but only gave up 5 yards for each completion, with a full total of 20 yards per allowed. No missed tackles. That's a big one for me when you talk about secondary players. There's guys who can do really well, but I think if someone was to go look up Minkah's missed tackle rate last season, I think it was almost 13% or something like that. You'd probably be a little bit surprised, to be frank. You'd be a little bit surprised. So for me, Trey Norwood, rookie, not having that, I was actually really happy with that. I thought that was a really, really good effort from him there, to not miss tackles. He allowed a passer rating of 83. I think I saw after the game there that, in fact, Josh Allen had a passer rating of under 80. So he came in a little bit there, but, that is what it is. And then from that perspective as well, he allowed 7 yards on through the air, which was interesting. But the other thing I wanted to sort of talk about is the fact that he had the average depth per completion that he faced was actually 10.4 yards. So whilst he was allowing 5 yards, he was shutting down the plays. Now, we don't have a massive sample size there, so that's an interesting thing to say. But when you really do look at it, when it comes to Trey Norwood, I think it's an awesome debut from a 7th-round draft pick, like a 7th-rounder. I think, Jeffrey on the cutting room floor this week basically spoke to the fact that, he's doing what Sutton did in 2018, and Sutton was at that stage a second-year player, 3rd-round draft pick. That's pretty good. You can't ask for more than that, right? I was right. So looked up while I was talking to you, and missed tackles from Minkah was 12.2%. And obviously Minkah's, it's a different position, and he's got a roam all over the field. But you know, and he's only missed 9% in this first game. So, you know, Minka's showing up too. But I think even there, when you think about it, and I know it's one game, but you're seeing better efficiency, you know, out of the Steelers secondary. But with that, we're going to take a break on Steelers Warren. Join us for part two. I'm going to do a quick little rookie report for the Oakland Raiders. And then we're going to look at a couple of key players to watch this week in the college football side of things and think about what's going to happen potentially this week as the Steelers take on the Las Vegas Raiders. We're back on Steelers War Room. I'm your host this week, the show, Matt Peverill, the host of the show that puts you, you know, as I always like to say, in the minds of Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, and Omar Khan. But it really does, because like, what's happening with our players? What's happening with around our opposition? You know, and how do we construct this roster? And what I was going to say there as well is that, you know, as we get closer to, you know, the draft deadline, I'm going to look at some of those sorts of things. You know, people have talked about an offensive lineman and, you know, getting rid of Chooks and all the rest of it. You're not going to see any of the top offensive linemen available for trade really until the team's starting to get out of the mix. Like, I think of someone like Moten from the Carolina Panthers. He's not going to be available, you know, and if I were them, I wouldn't be doing anything with him, given, you know, Sam Darnold and what could happen there. But he's just one of those players you got to think about that he's not really going to move. Like, I think Michael Bax talked about Taylor Lewan from Tennessee. They're not going to give him up with Tannehill, you know, even when he comes back from injury. But having said that, they did not look good last week. They did not look good. They do not have the tight end to fit what they want to do. And, you know, missing Jonnu Smith is massive. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Titans. But said, I like, you know, this is the thing. It's kind of all around the NFL. It's personnel. It's how you do this. So maybe it should change. To Pev's personnel show, but no, I think it makes sense. Steelers War Room, that's what we do. We like to war ideas. You know, I'd love to, you know, if I was in the US and, you know, I could do this live as well with the timing, you know, I'd like to do it. And I could get a big whiteboard out and we could scribble all over it or something like that. But anyway, what I did say was that we'd repeat the rookie report. We obviously had the Steelers rookie report part one. You know, we'll look at the rookie report here for the Oakland Raiders. First guy I wanted to look at was Divine Diablo, 223 pounds, 6'3" out of Virginia Tech, taken 80th overall, I think it was. He was taken in the third round out of Virginia Tech. And he played 22 snaps on special teams or 69%. So, you know, he's a DB. You know, he's sort of on almost Devin Bush sort of size as well. So, you know, he can probably play a little bit there in the linebacking core as well to a degree. But, you know, he's sort of, I guess, similar to like a Miles Killebrew sort of situation. So there wasn't too much there of note for him, but I'm interested to see what he can do this week for them. Hopefully not a lot. The next guy is Trayvon Morig, TCU, 6'2", 202 pounds, taking 43rd overall. You know, he's someone that, you know, I actually thought could be a smoky for the Steelers in the second round. People thought he could have gone late in the first and then he could have gone to the Ravens. So it was interesting he fell back that far. I actually didn't have him taken as the first safety overall. I think I had that as, I haven't mentioned blank on the other player that did get taken first because I had a bet on this and it won. Can absolutely bother me now, this one, for a little while. It wasn't Richie Grant. He was taken a little bit later on as well. He was the guy out of Oregon. It was Holland, Javon Holland, I think it was. You can look that up, though, but I haven't. But, yeah, regardless, Trevor Murray played 100% of the defensive snaps, which you'd expect out of a pick fairly that high, potentially. Five tackles, two solo. He allowed 39 yards and basically he allowed a completion rate or a passer rating of 158.3. I think that's actually technically a perfect passer rating. He had 29 air yards allowed and he had one missed tackle. Trayvon Morig is going to be big against the Steelers this week. he's going to be really interesting to watch if he can have this game but a bit better. And also, look at those stats when I think about it. Now, I know he's been put in a different position as more of a safety. But think about those stats versus Trey Norwood, seventh rounder, right? Didn't miss a tackle, had almost the same number of tackles. You know, he allowed a passer rating, you know, of close to half that, you know, allowed a lot less yards. Pretty interesting from that perspective. So, but Trayvon Moore will get better. He's a name to remember. He will get better. He will be someone that sits in this Raiders team for a while. The next player that makes sense to cover off, you know, we'll sort of lower around the draft picks for the Oakland Raiders is Tyler Gillespie. He's a safety, 6 foot, 210 pounds. He played 50% of the special team snaps. That's all there really is to note there. And then you had Nate Hobbs, cornerback, 6 foot, 195 pounds out of Illinois, the college of Mr. Kendrick Green. And he had two solo tackles on 34 snaps, which was 50% of the defense. So really with that, you know, that sort of sums up all the defensive guys. Obviously, you're like, hang on, Matt, what about their first round draft pick? Yep, that's Alexander Leatherwood. I think he's had a shin issue this week when I looked at one of the injury reports. So obviously they're hoping that he's right for this game. Here's someone that was interestingly taken there. People thought he could have gone in the second or third round, but with the way the tackles worked out, you know, they chose to take him. It was another one of these flyer picks that the Oakland Raiders seemed to, well, not Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders seemed to be picking. I think I've actually already said Oakland a couple of times in this podcast. But anyway, Las Vegas Raiders picked him up there and, you know, one of these flyers that they pick and, you know, it doesn't necessarily always work out. But then they do scout guys like Crosby and Renfro. But yeah, with Leatherwood, you know, he played 100% of the offensive snaps. He even had five snaps in special teams. You know, the thing about Leatherwood, though, is that, you know, at its heart, wasn't able to pull up the penalties if he had any penalties that he allowed or made. But you saw Derek Carr get sacked three times and you saw him under pressure a fair bit. So Alex Leatherwood's going to have to step it up. I don't think he's as bad as what all the people say in terms of, I don't necessarily think he was worth the 17th pick, but I know why they went there with him. You know, and I think there's that potential there. So with him, so that's an interesting one is like, what can the Steelers do to put pressure on a guy like Leatherwood in an offensive line that's been completely revamped as well, you know, in the offseason? That, you know, that's the big question when you look at and what's the contribution going to be from these rookies? Well, let's say that probably the key player that we need to think about here is Trayvon Moehrig. Equally though, the rookies from last year from Las Vegas Raiders, you know, that's something to think about, right? Like that is something to really think about this team, you know, because they got a good roster, right? They got a good roster. You know, they've got wide receivers in, as you know, we know, I think he's in his third year now, but Renfro, you know that they've got guys like Darren Waller, you know, incredible player. You know, they've got guys like Henry Ruggs as well. Henry Ruggs the third. He's a guy from last year's draft class. Brian Edwards, you know, he went in the third round. He's a good wide receiver. He's 6'3", 212 pounds. He scored that you know, touchdown to win the game that then was disallowed. You know, Damon Arnette actually started to show up. You know, he was the first round draft pick, one of those last year. You know, and a lot of people were like, oh, this guy's not that good. And he was picked and it was a surprise, but he's actually started to play pretty well, right? You know, and then, you know, Amik Robertson starting to do a bit more for them as well. So, you know, they've got some guys there. You know, they've got some guys there, but equally, those guys haven't played, you know, in front of a home crowd, you know, and not, it's not their home crowd, but a home crowd like that of the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field and dealt with a renegade. So that's what's going to be really interesting. And it's actually a fairly young Raiders team when you really look at it, about some key players there, you know, that are going to make this difference. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what Pittsburgh can do, you know, to this team, you know, and put them under some pressure. But beware, this Raiders team are going to provide a bit more of a shock to the Steelers than what I think some people are currently placing them at. But look, I also wanted to talk about, as I always like to do, you know, some college players, you know, that are playing this season as well. And, you know, and guys to really, really think about, you know, with the college football coming up. You know, I think the key one I kind of wanted to go into, and then I'll give you some matchups to watch and who those guys are, is really Grayson McCall out of, and he's going to like the player I'm going to profile is Grayson McCall out of Coastal Carolina. I think Dave said that he watched a bit of Coastal Carolina last year when they were playing Zach Wilson, I think it was, you know, and they're the ones that have the surf turf, which is like a teal color. You know, and they're playing some really interesting football, some really good football, depending on, you know, what your preferences are. But quarterback Grayson McCall, you know, he picked up from what he did last year, where he was a freshman, where he threw for almost 2,500 yards, 26 TDs, 3 interceptions. You know, he's completed over 80% of his passes for 507 yards and 3 touchdowns, and has rushed for a score already this season in a couple of games. You know, he's been relying more on his arm than his legs as well, which will keep him healthier. And, you know, he's going for an undefeated season. And they head up to Buffalo. Interesting. And considering what we had last week as the Steelers, but, you know, they're heading up there, you know, this week. I think the other thing to think about with Grayson McCall is that really going into this college season, he was probably projected to be probably a fourth round, maybe late 3, early 5, depending on where it falls. And, you know, after guiding them to an 11-1 overall finish last year, you know, in a top 25 ranking, where he completed, you know, 69% of his passes for that 2,500 yards that I talk about there, you know, he actually rushed for 569 rushing yards last year and 7 touchdowns. You know, and that's why we say, you know, he's been a bit healthier this season with what he's done. You know, he's got 11 games on the schedule to basically prove that he could be in the first round. The reason I'm bringing him up as well is that, you know, he could be a really interesting player for the Steelers that if he doesn't quite get there and he, you know, kind of slightly misses out, you know, is this someone that the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, could actually select later on and then develop, you know, behind Ben Roethlisberger for another year, you know, and that's the interesting part about it really is like, you know, what can the Steelers do with a guy like a Grayson McCall? And I bring him up because another guy that they've been linked to as well, you know, in Matt Corral had a great game. And I actually think this shows that he is going to be someone that, you know, is probably going to be out of bounds for them. I know a lot of my BKC colleagues want a guy like Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati. I worry about his character, like Spencer Rattler, you know, and there are some other interesting players too, you know, like JT Daniels. You know, he's a guy to watch, you know, this week as well, you know, in terms of the game that he's playing there against BYU. You know, Richard White there as well from Arizona State, Darren Butler, Chase Lucas, who some thought was going to come out, you know, in the draft. And I'm pretty sure Chase Lucas is actually the son of a rapper. I'm having a mental blank on who that is, but that's pretty interesting. If you're looking at that game with Arizona State there versus BYU, when it comes to Cincinnati, you know, as we talked about Desmond Ridder there, you know, they've got a running back, Jerome Ford, who really stepped up in the last couple of weeks as well. That could be really interesting. They're playing, you know, Indiana. Michael Penix Jr. is obviously there doing a bit, starting to get some headlines. Ty Freifogel, the wide receiver. Micah McFadden, the linebacker. Tywan Mullen as well, and guys to really consider. Moving back to the Cincinnati side, Ahmad Gardner is someone to think about the cornerback position for the Steelers. I think he's slated to be a second or third round pick. So, you know, we're going to need some cornerback help. We know that. We know we're going to have to get in a younger position. There's nothing to say that Joe Hayden will be back either. You know, will by the end of the season we be confident in Sutton? Who knows? Will Pierre actually, you know, finally deliver on a lot of the hype from that's been coming through the Steelers offseason and now early season? Who knows? Then you've got number one. Then you go Purdue at Notre Dame. You know, I think there for the really the Steelers, a guy like Davis Bell, is he going to fall into a couple of later rounds and be there as a wide receiver? And we know the Steelers like to pick someone in the second, third, fourth, and fifth round and develop them. And then there's Kyle Hamilton in that game too. Interesting one to watch. But I don't really think the Steelers are going to be in the mix for him. And I don't think, and if we are with a pick that high, we're not going to be picking a safety with that pick. I'd be highly doubtful of that. Then Alabama playing Florida, that's probably going to get a lot of attention. Christian Harris, the linebacker, could be someone there that's quite interesting if they want to get someone over time to pair with Devin Bush. I know Joe Schobert's got a more than that 1 year contract there. You know, quarterback Emory Jones is someone you may want to look out for, but you know, Bryce Young too, he could win the Heisman, but you know, whether he declares and also the Steelers are in for him, I doubt it. Then you've got Auburn at Penn State. Zachary McClain, the linebacker, could be interesting to watch out of that one. Equally, Ellis Brooks, linebacker on the Penn State side. Jaquan Brisker, the safety, could be interesting to watch too. I think and Owen Papo actually from Auburn too. He's someone to consider watching in that game. I covered Arizona versus BYU there. You know, I think really, you know, this is going to be the interesting part. You know, for those of you that might be sitting there on the West Coast looking at USC as well, what do they do after firing their coach? You know, can Keaton Slovis step it up? You know, and with Drake London as well at wide receiver, that's going to be the interesting thing to, you know, really, really see out of that. But yeah, look, that wraps up this week's Steelers War Room. I hope you've enjoyed the introduction of the rookie reports. We're gonna make sure that they don't, you know, necessarily dominate the complete show. But I thought it was pretty cool after the first week of the Steelers season. You know, we knew with the turnover in this roster, we knew the rookies had to step up. I thought they did a pretty good job. You know, if you know, giving a rating, you're doing a 7.5, 8 out of 10, really, I think, because as a cohort, they all made an impact. No one, and the bigger thing was no one made a massive mistake. No one cost the Steelers the game. You can't say that of the rookies. And when you think, it's like we had multiple first-round draft picks. You know, we didn't have multiple second-round draft picks. We didn't have multiple third-round draft picks. You know, this is actually an incredible output from a Steelers cohort. You know, I compared them there to the Oakland Raiders. Their cohort can do the Steelers. That goes through.